they want to prevent Pakistani public to attend these rallies. These elements, they fear that if Pakistani public attend these rallies, Pakistani government will get under pressure and they will definitely do something against Israel.
Anti-Israel sentiments run high in Pakistan, given the regime's policy of systematically killing innocent Palestinians and evicting them from their homes over the course of decades. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Supporters of Palestinians who struggle for their rights and justice gathered in front of the headquarters and branches of RAI, the Italian national broadcaster, to protest against what they call biased coverage of the ongoing conflict between Israel and Palestine. The demonstration took place in several cities, including Rome, Milan, and Naples. Protesters shouting "Shame" and "Israel go away" accused the national broadcaster of misrepresenting the complexity of the latest Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, as well as ridiculing the truth.
The reports on the Israeli-Palestine conflict that RAI TV has been airing were not up to the standards one would expect from a public broadcaster. Italian people have been clever enough to understand the truth. It's no coincidence that pro-Palestine demonstrations were held in 25 cities across the country. The reports never mentioned the Israeli occupation, never once.
People attending Rome's demonstration said the Italian media outlets faced no ethical dilemmas when it came to not reporting on the Israelis who were trying to steal Palestinians' houses in Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem or Quds.
Italian mainstream media generally covers Palestinians when they are either protesting or physically confronting Israeli aggression, with the outcry broadly described as escalation of violence. Quite the contrary when it comes to describing Israel's increasing night raids on Palestinian homes and attacks by Israeli settlers on Palestinian farmers. Italian media hardly refers to an escalation of violence.
Last Saturday, thousands of people flooded the central square in the Italian capital to show their support to the Palestinians, but no mainstream media outlets bothered to cover the demonstration.
The media didn't elaborate on what was happening in Italy. They showed, you know, London, New York, other places in the world, and they didn't really focus on all of Italy was protesting against this occupation.
In 2002, an Italian journalist was killed by an Israeli attack in Ramallah. 9 years later, another journalist was killed in the Gaza Strip. I think the public broadcaster should honor the memory of these two men by reporting on the Palestinian plight in an unbiased manner. As usual, supranational, political, and economic interests are prioritized over objective reporting.
A national demonstration dubbed Stop the Israeli Occupation will be held in Rome on Saturday, May 29. Thousands of Italians are expected to join the rally from all over the country. Max Civili, Rome.
Bishop Talbot Swan, a highly respected civil rights activist, expressed a sympathy and solidarity among the African American community for the Palestinians as outrage over Israel's actions has continued to grow.
If any people should resonate with what's going on in Palestine, it's black people in America. Even when we look at what's happening on the streets in our nation, many police departments across America actually go to Israel to be trained by the military in so-called counterterrorism strategies. And then they come here into black communities and employ those strategies on black citizens. So we fully understand their struggle. It resonates with us, and we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people.
For many, the fact the U.S. government funds Israel while reparations owed to black Americans have yet to be paid is hypocritical.
They can find nearly $4 billion a year to give to Israel, but they can't find any money to give to African Americans who descended from enslaved Africans. It's a travesty, it's a shame, and we're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for you to do us a favor. That's money that is owed. That's a debt that the United States has yet to pay.
Like many faith leaders, Bishop Swan reiterated his continued support for the Palestinians in the face of racist apartheid.
Oppressed people all over the world are watching what's happening. We are standing in solidarity with you. We are pushing and pressing for governmental structures to condemn the violence, to stop the funding of terrorism, because that's exactly what it is. And we want them to remain steadfast, to be strong, and to know that we are behind them.
The demands for the U.S. to stop funding Palestinian oppression and to implement justice for Black America will continue as long as the status quo remains in place. Support for the Palestinians has undoubtedly intensified, with millions of people around the world condemning Israel, demanding an end to the occupation of Palestine. Richard Sudam, London.
A ceasefire took hold on Friday in the Gaza Strip as Israel and Hamas agreed to halt nearly 2 weeks of fighting that left hundreds dead and parts of the impoverished Gaza Strip destroyed. There were no reports of violations early Friday, though each side said it stood ready to retaliate for any attacks by the other.
After the ceasefire, I'm sending words of thanks and appreciation for the Palestinian resistance and for the countries who supported Palestinians with both money and weapons, especially the Islamic Republic of Iran that offered everything and stood with Palestinians to a great extent.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip took to the streets and held celebrations of their victory, embracing one another in front of bombed buildings. Palestinians in Gaza could not mark Eid al-Fitr festival at Ramadan conclusion due to the Israeli airstrikes. On Friday, postponed Eid celebrations were held throughout Gaza.
This is a celebration of our victory. We celebrate winning and teaching the inhumane Israeli regime a lesson that we won't remain silent over its crimes, even if it costs us everything, even our children and homes. This is the road of our resistance till Palestine is free.
We spent days of Ramadan waiting for aid, and then this escalation started, but we all supported Al-Aqsa and Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem. Gazans did all of this to support Palestinians in Jerusalem. We didn't count on any other country. We supported each other and defended Al-Aqsa.
More than 10 days of attacks killed at least 240 Palestinians in Gaza, including 66 children, wounded more than 1,900, and damaged critical infrastructure and thousands of homes, according to officials. The clashes began when the Israeli regime attacked worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque and started its eviction plans of Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem.
We are all here now in high spirits. We have witnessed three wars, and today Gaza didn't give up defending Palestinians. We are glad of this victory, and we appreciate the efforts of our resistance that did everything to support us and defend our rights.
After days of Israeli strikes, people are here celebrating their victory, stressing to support the Palestinian resistance in the face of the Israeli violations of Palestinian rights. Ruba Shabet, Gaza.
In Lebanon, support for Palestine has overcome even internal crises, with more people rallying to show support. The Palestinian Resistance Hamas representative in Lebanon told Press TV, Palestinian Resistance has the advanced capabilities to deter the Israeli aggression for an unrestricted period of time.
We have reached a new phase in the conflict with the Zionist enemy, since the enemy is in a state of crisis, facing the blows of the resistance. The resistance in Palestine is part of the entire resistance front. The enemy has realized that if it launches an assault on any group, the entire front will come forward to give a due response. For now, the Palestinian resistance has declared that it has the capabilities to face this occupation for a long period of time with hundreds or even thousands of rockets.
A Hezbollah member of parliament at the rally said it is an Islamic duty for all Muslims, as it is for Palestinians, to liberate Palestine.
The Palestinian cause is not only for Arabs, it's also for all Muslims. When a nation is involved in a conflict, all other nations step into the fray to stand against the joint enemy. Our slogan is that Al-Quds victory is closer today more than ever.
Despite the heinous Israeli crimes, Palestinian people's intense uprising and resistance remain unabated. Observers believe that that in itself will weaken the Israeli army.
We cannot describe with words the heroic endeavor of the Palestinian people. We can only salute the great Palestinians and their martyrs. We also salute all those who have stood with them in the most difficult circumstances. A salute to the Islamic Republic of Iran, since it weren't for Iran, the entire region would have a different fate. The 2006 war in Lebanon destroyed the first pillar of the occupation regime, and today in Palestine, the second pillar has already fallen.
Hundreds of Lebanese and Palestinians are holding protests on a daily basis across the country to show that they are ready to give more direct assistance to Palestine if need be.
We are ready to put all our efforts in assisting the oppressed people in Palestine, and that is our duty to give that assistance for the sake of righteousness against our unjust enemy.
The Palestinian-Israeli conflict has always been inseparable from the Lebanese-Israeli conflict. Today, even Lebanese activists in solidarity with Palestine's uprising in the face of Israeli aggression say the Lebanese resistance should give direct backing to the Palestinian resistance whenever there is a need, anytime in the future. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
A fourth round of talks to revive the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, concludes in Vienna, with delegations headed back home for further consultations. EU coordinator Enrico Mora said there'd been substantial progress in the past 10 days, but there were still issues that needed to be worked on. Mora said he believed an agreement was possible before Iran's presidential elections next month.
I will not venture a date because you never know, but I'm quite sure that there will be a final agreement, yeah, not far from here.
Iranian lead delegate Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said the issues that needed resolution were difficult.
Some delegations believe that the next round could be the last round. I cannot say that indefinitely, but because we are not there, we are still not there. But I think that if the other side, especially the U.S. side, can make their difficult decisions, we might be able to come to the conclusion next time we meet here in Vienna.
Araghchi said Iran is standing firm on its position that the U.S. needs to fully lift all sanctions in a verifiable manner before Tehran can take action to come back to full compliance with the JCPOA. Reports indicate that though the U.S. has agreed to ease sanctions on various sectors like energy, banking, shipping, and insurance, there are still differences on sanctioned individuals and entities, including Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC. Questions have also been lingering on the fate of Iran's advanced centrifuges and whether the U.S. sanctions will be fully removed or temporarily eased. The sides have decided to meet again next week. Homa Lezgi, Vienna.
Protesters have staged a sit-in in Imam Hussein Square of Tehran to show anger at the brutalities of the Israeli regime in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank.
This year, due to the corona pandemic, we couldn't stage rallies on Quds International Day. So today we are here to support Palestinians and condemn the atrocities of the Zionist regime against them.
Whenever a crime happens in the world, the international bodies release statements and slam it. But they are silent about the brutal acts of Israel in Gaza. I'm here to show solidarity with Palestinians and tell them that they are not alone.
It is our duty to participate in such events. Since the Islamic Revolution, we have participated in all these demonstrations, and right now we are here to support the innocent women and children of Gaza and Palestine.
waving the flags of Palestine and the resistance movement, they chanted slogans against the global arrogance and the Israeli regime, which has recently begun a new wave of attacks on the besieged Gaza. In their slogans, the demonstrators also announced that they stand with Palestinians and their cause until they achieve victory. The IRGC commander was the speaker of the event, who blasted Israel, saying that this time the situation has changed.
This is the first time that Israel's shipping and aviation industries are disrupted. This is the first time that Israel's capital is being showered by missiles every day. This is the first time that all Zionists are in shelters.
At the end of this gathering, a statement was also read out to wrap up the demands of the Iranians from the international bodies regarding the crimes committed by Israel.
Over 200 people, including women and children, have been killed in recent Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, while millions of people across the world have taken to the streets to condemn the Israeli aggression. The international bodies are still keeping quiet. Humam Abedi, Tehran.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Half a kilo of halim, please.
Hi,
Kitty. Good morning.
Number one, hands up. Number two, hands on the waist.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Get ready for jogging to warm up.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
One loaf of well-baked bread, please.
Of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for thee. I ask thee concerning the complaints of thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among thy servants, of a handmaid from among thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask thee, O he who owns all objects of need, which are granted by his will and hastened to his desire, that thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that thou willst, and givest me mercy from thee. Forgiveness decreases thee not, and giving injuries thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from thee: the facility to obey thee at its beginning, and the favor of thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
The debate.
Hello and welcome to Debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Attempting to steal more homes in the Sheikh Jarrah area in occupied Jerusalem al-Quds by the Israeli regime, defiling the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the holy month of Ramadan, and 11 days of Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip have all been experienced by Palestinians within the last month alone. Now, these are just the latest examples of the regime in Tel Aviv defying international law. Will Israel be charged with war crimes, as many individuals and organizations are demanding?
An Egypt-brokered truce that came into effect on May 21st put an end to 11 days of Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip. People in the besieged Gaza and the occupied West Bank hailed the truce as a victory for Palestinian resistance groups in the face of Israeli attacks. They also voiced support for resistance against Israeli violations of Palestinian rights. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has also congratulated the Palestinian people for their recent victory over the Zionist regime. In a statement, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the Israeli regime committed huge crimes against Palestinians' united resistance.
The tyrant regime committed massive crimes, mainly in Gaza. It practically proved that due to its incapability in the face of Palestine's united uprising, it embarks on such shameful and insane acts. The world public opinion stood in opposition against the regime, and more hatred was fomented toward Tel Aviv and its Western backers, particularly the U.S.
Ayatollah Khamenei also noted that Palestinians' resistance left the Zionist regime with no choice but to request a ceasefire.
The regime's defeat was manifested both in its continued crimes and its request for a ceasefire. The Israeli regime was forced to concede defeat.
The Iranian leader noted that the Israeli regime will get weaker than what it is today, while the preparedness of resistance forces will make Palestine stronger day by day. He also called on the entire Muslim nations to feel responsible for the Palestinian cause.
Muslim governments should enter the scene with sincerity to support the Palestinian nation, whether by boosting their military might or lending financial support. This is required more than ever before for the reconstruction of the infrastructure and repairing the damage done to Gaza.
Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized that the crimes Israel committed during its latest onslaught should not be left unpunished. He said Israeli authorities, particularly Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, must be brought to justice in independent international tribunals. The leader's remarks came as figures indicate that Israel's offensive on densely populated Gaza has killed at least 279 Palestinians, including 69 children, from May 10th until May 21st. More than 1,900 people, including 70 journalists, were also wounded in the regime's airstrikes and artillery attacks. The Palestinian Journalist Syndicate says it is filing a complaint about Israeli crimes against journalists that would be presented to the International Criminal Court. Reporters Without Borders has regarded the Israeli airstrikes on media in Gaza as war crimes. The recent Israeli aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip began after the Israeli regime attacked worshippers in the Al-Aqsa Mosque and started eviction plans of the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in the occupied East Jerusalem of Quds. Following the Egypt-brokered truce, more than 90,000 Gazans who were displaced from their homes during the attacks are now returning to their homes, but a trail of destruction is awaiting them since much of Gaza's critical infrastructure and many civilian buildings were badly damaged or completely leveled during the onslaught. International NGOs and Gaza officials say several hospitals and schools, as well as power and sewage plants, have been severely damaged. The Red Cross says that Gaza could take years to rebuild.
I'd like to welcome my guest to this debate, human rights activist Aidy Mohamed out of Manchester and director of Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought, Zafar Bangash out of Toronto. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Manchester, Aidy. The recent 11 days of attacks by the Israeli regime on Gaza was preceded by onslaughts in 2008, 2009, 2012, and 2014, thousands of Palestinians have been killed during these attacks. Has the Israeli regime been held at all responsible for any of these incursions and attacks up until now?
It certainly hasn't been held to account as it should be. But one thing for certain is that the groundswelling of support for the Palestinians throughout that period has grown and grown and grown. I've just now come back from a demonstration in Manchester with thousands of people, much more than we ever have. We had 10,000 last week in the middle of the height of the intensity of the carnage that Israel was unleashing on the Palestinians in Gaza. So in some ways, finally, the appropriate response on the ground is such that people higher up are starting to know that they cannot ignore this any longer, that they will be judged by history for standing silent while the Palestinians in Gaza are getting massacred again and again. And I have to say that the pressure told. The international response, as well as the incredible resistance on the ground and the very strength of the people to withstand it, stopped it quicker than has happened in recent times. When 2,200 people were killed in Gaza in 51 days in 2014, this was one of the most horrible acts of Israel's many horrendous crimes against the Palestinians, and that was 500 children killed in 51 days. The carnage and horror has been just as intense. But at the very least, they had to stop. They had to stop because there wasn't just people in the usual places that were taking action and putting pressure on people in leadership and putting pressure on local councillors, putting pressure on everybody, including companies that are connected to Israel, with the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, the arms factories, for example, the Elbit ones, people occupied and closed them from Palestine Action while the attacks were going on. So the intensity of the response from the people will eventually hold them to account. And
okay,
I know
stay with
now,
me, because I want to look at that part of it at the end of the program. But Zafar, during this 2021 onslaught, experts say many international laws have been broken by Israel, attacking occupied people, attacking holy places, usurping property, attacking a civilian population, attacking schools, health centers, residential areas, journalists' offices, all add up to war crimes. Your thoughts about that? Does it mean that because it adds up to war crimes that we will see the Israeli regime being held responsible for these war crimes, or your assessment of it?
Well, we need to keep in mind that Israel is already being investigated for the crimes that it committed in 2014 onslaught on Gaza. And the International Criminal Court, in fact, the special prosecutor, carried out years of investigations. They have established all of the legal parameters that the International Criminal Court has jurisdiction. Number two, that Israel may have committed war crimes and that the International Criminal Court should investigate them. And now the Palestinian Authority or its foreign minister has already sent a letter to the International Criminal Court regarding the latest Israeli war crimes. As you mentioned, you listed them. There's attacks on civilian infrastructure, hospitals, clinics, schools, and other infrastructure. These all constitute war crimes. And since there is already an investigation underway, it will make it a lot easier for the International Criminal Court to pursue these investigations as well, or these charges as well. What I cannot say for certain is whether the International Criminal Court would be able to muster enough courage to be able to convict the Zionist regime. But I think the ice has already been broken. I think now we are heading towards a situation whereby even if the Zionist regime is not convicted by the International Criminal Court, the rest of the world has now seen that the Zionist regime is a criminal regime. Mm. And the outpouring of support for the Palestinian people worldwide, everywhere. In fact, these are unprecedented times. Even parliamentarians in various countries, including in the U.S. Congress, there is a number of senators and Congress, House of Representative members that have sent a letter to President Biden urging him, or in fact demanding that Israel should be held to account. Even in Canada, 25 parliamentarians have sent a letter to the Canadian government insisting that Israel should be held to account. So I think we can see this change, this groundswell of change, first of all, emerging from the people and then even among elected representatives. So I think a change is on its way.
Well, Ari, what about that? He says he thinks that change is on its way. I mean, in this onslaught, we saw at least 279 Palestinians being killed. 69 of them were children. Now, that's nearly 25% of the total number. I want to talk about that because when we're talking about public opinion, and before, of course, the Israeli regime tried to show itself as the victim, how much of a role does it play in it that actually children, have been a large percentage of the victims?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, when there was each time there's an attack by Israel, they always do this. They kill multitudes of children and lots of innocent men and women. It's across the board. But the point is, it's clear as crystal that Israel is indiscriminately bombing families. They wiped out 90 entire families in 2014. So don't tell me that actually their collateral damage or they were on top of an infrastructure. So many of them are having meals. Some of the kids were having exams at the start of the bombing of 2009, when 330 kids were killed in 22 days. I lost two of my students. One of their entire family with her two little babies were killed in 2014. So I think this will have a major effect. I think this is one of the things that's having a major effect. It's literally about people just opening their eyes more and more. And the moment that they're seeing it, it comes flooding through, and then all the previous crimes come flooding through. And for me, it is a turning point, because when you see that many children come into the intensive care unit in hospital, as I did when I was in the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza during the bombing of 2012, when 32 killed children were killed in 1 week, then all those pictures are coming out. Social media is coming out. It gets to the point where even mainstream Western media now is having to report it. So this is all about pressure. It's all about social media. It's all about the bravery of some channels and some photographers that just have kept pushing and getting things out, as well as obviously the Palestinians have raised their voice themselves through social media. So these pictures are coming out, these videos are coming out of the children and of the carnage and of the destruction and of the tower blocks on video live as they get totally destroyed with everybody's home and pet possession inside it. So obviously these children are going to be under the spotlight because it's the most vulnerable part of society. And so when they're killed, you know that these are crimes and these are global crimes. And actually the International Criminal Court is a very good point made there. There was even a report in 2009, the Goldstone report, that originally accused Israel of war crimes. It's been growing ever since, as have Amnesty International, who said they've committed war crimes, Serve Human Rights Watch. So that this gradual pressure, I think, will make it easier, especially because, like you, the gentleman said, where they're already prosecuting now, finally, after so much pressure from the crimes of 2014, these crimes now that are very well documented, that even mainstream news channels had to show, people are already starting to break on Israel now. And I think we've seen one of the biggest sea changes in my life. And I actually feel like Palestinians will be free in my lifetime because of the gradual pressure on all fronts, including the legal side.
Well, Zafar, now the leader of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, says that Israel must be held responsible for its crimes. An independent international court of law should prosecute the regime. And also, he said that Muslim governments are all responsible to support the Palestinians in any way that they can, even financially right now, helping to rebuild the infrastructure and in any way. Do you see a transition with some of these Muslim governments in being able to understand or seeing their responsibility in supporting Palestine, or your assessment of that?
Well, I really don't have much hope from many of these Arab regimes, with the exception of perhaps Qatar, that has already pledged $50 million in reconstruction contribution. But the rest of them are actually agents of Zionism and imperialism. So they are in the enemy camp. They don't belong to the Muslim Ummah. They may have Muslim names, but they're not going to do anything for the Palestinian people. The other, of course, you know, apart from the Islamic Republic of Iran, which has been instrumental in supporting the Palestinian cause, the Palestinian leadership, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, have openly admitted the material, financial, technical support that the Islamic Republic has offered or extended to them. Secondly, I think there is probably some hope that countries like Pakistan and Turkey may come through, although I'm very disappointed that the Turkish government, despite launching verbal volleys against Israel, it still has diplomatic relations with Israel, it still has open trade with Israel, its ambassador is still there, and there are LL flights, Israeli flights coming to Istanbul, hundreds of thousands of Israeli tourists flying every day every year into Turkey. I think Turkey really has to clean up its act and come through for the Palestinian people beyond its rhetorical things. But I think there is a change. But I want to repeat, we can hold no hope from the Arab regime. The vast majority of them are actually in the enemy camp.
Okay. Well, Aidy, now Israel always appeared not to care what the media would show, because overall Tel Aviv and its lobbies in various countries would make sure that they controlled the narrative. However, this time around, the regime aggressively targeted media offices and members of the media. 70 journalists were wounded in Gaza, 170 wounded in the occupied territories, and one was killed, and 33 media organizations destroyed. Why do you think that has been the case this time around specifically?
I think that actually it's a sign of Israel in decline. Israel is getting ultimately more and more exposed. There will be more and more progression towards holding to account. and they're more aware that actually the cat is out of the bag, and people are more aware of what's going on now. So what's happened is they've got more disdain now for media that is actually even just asking vaguely soft questions, to the point where they're going after CNN and Sky reporters, who have been massive allies of Israel. They've actually, you know, always shown the Israeli side, given Israel spokespeople much more time, airtime, and often just dismissing Palestinians, just showing crowds, not showing the names and the background of all those kids that were killed, and equating the two sides so much, when actually the Palestinians are all being killed 20 times more than the Israeli side, not to mention Israel's ongoing ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians and the longest-running military occupation in modern history, and the attacks on Jerusalem, the child prisoners, all that is put aside. And yet, look at how, you know, right-wing and reactionary the Israeli government has now become. They're completely mad, which is why they can set these bombs off on civilian populations like they do in Gaza. And so they think everybody's the enemy, and even the people that, that actually they should be thanking for their support, like a lot of Western media that has given them an easy ride to kill so many Palestinians and take even more land. In fact, they're that reactionary that they're going after these news media. And so they're starting to think, well, they really are crazy. We've given them all this. You know, who do they think they are? They're actually starting to speak up a little bit about it. And right. It will only grow like this. It's like they kicked Human Rights Watch out of Israel when actually they've not really spoken out that greatly on Palestine in the past, but now they just have. So the more they do it, and it will be a progression, it will continue like this, the more the media will actually say, look, we've had enough of you, Israel. And it's happening already. And I think there's huge... puts some positive things that are going to come out with this.
Well, Zafar, though the latest Israeli onslaught is over on the Gaza Strip, the area is still under siege. The occupied territories are still being controlled by Israelis with inhumane checkpoints, stealing more Palestinian land, and simply overall aggression and even torture on the Palestinian population as a whole. Are we transitioning because of pressure? Do you see light at the end of the tunnel with this situation because of this newfound pressure that we're seeing globally on the Israeli regime, or not?
There are actually two factors. The first, and which is, I think, absolutely crucial, is that for the very first time, all of the Palestinians, whether they are in Gaza, in the West Bank, in Al-Quds, Jerusalem, or in 1948, Green Line, they're all united today. And this is, I think, an absolutely incredible development, and this is going to continue. I can clearly see and visualize that this will continue, and that is precisely the reason why the Israeli military was not able to launch a ground invasion of Gaza, because the military commanders told their political leadership that this is simply untenable. We cannot control both fronts. So that's the first point. Secondly, this international awareness that is growing, you know, as the other guest pointed out, there have been rallies in support of the Palestinians all over the world. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are participating in these rallies. And even the media is now speaking out against these Israeli crimes. Even a couple of days ago, a major newspaper in Toronto actually wrote an opinion piece in which it said, "We have overlooked Netanyahu's crimes for too long." I mean, this is unheard of. And even the CBC, which is a main television station in Toronto or Canada, they have come out against the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. So I think both because of the fact that there is unity among the Palestinian people that has emerged, and secondly, that Israeli crimes are now being talked about in the media, I think that gives us hope, and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, I'm quite hopeful that, in fact, in my lifetime, perhaps this Zionist regime would be removed and there would be a state in Palestine in which all of the people would live as equal citizens under the law, not this racist ideology of Zionism that is in force at the present time.
All right. And on that note, I thank both of you for being with us on this debate. Human rights activist Aidan Mormick out of Manchester, Director of Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought Zafar Bangash out of Toronto. And as always, we appreciate you being with us on this debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran.
This is IRIB English Radio. website is www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Israeli regime police complicated the terms of the ceasefire when they stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque just hours after it went into effect, firing tear gas and stun grenades at worshippers after Friday prayers. Hundreds of Palestinians had gathered at Al-Aqsa Mosque to pray and celebrate the ceasefire. According to the Palestinian Red Crescent, the police wounded about 20 people in the attack. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Sharon Jung Ryder. This article is published under the heading, Israeli regime police attacked Palestinians at Al-Aqsa Mosque hours after ceasefire. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. Thousands of Palestinians in Gaza, East Al-Quds, and the occupied West Bank were celebrating the freshly implemented ceasefire agreement between Zionist regime and Hamas when Israeli regime police stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque and attacked Palestinian worshippers. Israeli regime police complicated the terms of the ceasefire when they stormed the mosque just hours after it went into effect, firing tear gas and stun grenades at the worshippers after Friday prayers. Hundreds of Palestinians had gathered at the Al-Aqsa Mosque to pray and celebrate the ceasefire. According to the Palestinian Red Crescent, the police wounded about 20 people in the attack. The ceasefire agreement was reached on Friday, May 21st, as the region entered the second week of escalated violence from the Zionist regime forces. Israeli regime attacks have killed at least 243 Palestinians, including at least 66 children, over just 11 days. The attacks have also displaced tens of thousands of Palestinians. Palestinians and advocates for Palestinian rights reacted in horror to the recent Israeli regime's attacks. How long must Palestinians endure the terrorism of the Israeli regime? How long will this fascist regime have impunity? Asked Mohammed Al-Kurd, a writer from Al-Quds on Twitter. Al-Kurd also retweeted a photo of a man who was apparently injured by a stun grenade that hit his mouth, breaking his teeth, noting that Israel occupation forces troops intentionally shoot in the head and the upper body to cause lasting trauma, and adding, many of U.S. police departments are trained by the IOF or Israel occupation forces. Israeli apartheid doesn't stop, tweeted the Institute for Middle East Understanding, a U.S. nonprofit aimed at providing information on Palestine to the media, underscoring how, even with a ceasefire in effect, the Israeli regime continues to subject Palestinians to the many forms of violence they have endured for decades. The ceasefire had to happen, however, it does not end the siege on Gaza, the occupation in the West Bank and East Lots, nor the systematic oppression of Palestinians in occupied territories, wrote Sally Abed, a Palestinian living in Israeli-occupied Jaffa and leader of the social movement Standing Together. If not now, a U.S.-based Jewish progressive group also emphasized the limits of the ceasefire. Back to normal. Israeli regime forces repressing Palestinians. This is unacceptable. If not now, wrote in response to Friday's attack on Al-Aqsa. Meanwhile, progressive lawmakers in the U.S. have continued to push for the U.S. government to stop funding and backing the violence that the Israeli regime perpetrates against Palestinians. A ceasefire is necessary, but will not alone achieve freedom, justice, and equality for all who live under the Israeli regime's apartheid, wrote Representative Rashida Tlaib on Twitter. The U.S. must condition funding to uphold human rights and end the funding entirely if those conditions are not met. The White House has shown no signs of stopping a planned $735 million weapon sales to the fake regime of Israel, despite the fact that progressives in both chambers of Congress are pushing resolutions aimed at stopping the sale. According to official figures, the U.S. is the largest seller of weapons to the regime of Israel, whose military arsenal now includes 362 U.S.-built F-16 warplanes and 100 other U.S. military aircraft, including a growing fleet of the new F-35s, at least 45 Apache attack helicopters, 600M-109 howitzers, and 64M-270 rocket launchers. At this very moment, the Israeli regime is using many of these U.S.-supplied weapons in its devastating bombardment of Gaza. The U.S. military alliance with the fake regime of Israel also involves joint military exercises and joint production of Arrow missiles and other weapon systems. The U.S. and Israeli regime's militaries have collaborated on drone technologies tested by the Israelis in Gaza. The U.S. regime military also maintains an estimated $1.8 billion stockpile of weapons at six locations in occupied territories, prepositioned for use in future U.S. wars in the West Asia-North Africa region. During the Zionist regime assault on Gaza in 2014, even as the U.S. Congress suspended some weapons deliveries to the occupied territories, it approved handing over stocks of 120mm mortar shells and 40mm grenade launcher ammunition from the U.S. stockpile for the Zionist regime to use against Palestinians in Gaza.
Good morning. morning.
Good morning.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is